Good job. Acts chapter 20. Paul's writing. It's a great verse. I'm going to pick it up verse 25. Let's pick it up 24. We don't want to skip that one. It's too good. Acts chapter 20 verse 24 says this, "But none of these things move me." And that's good stuff. I'm preaching on. "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And that's the way you finish with joy. Don't count your life dear to yourself. Don't worry about yourself. "In the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel, the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that y'all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." And Paul said, verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Watch it. In verse 27, he says this, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And really, that's what a preacher has to do. Sometimes some of the things you preach aren't good. Some of the things you kind of preach aren't uplifting. But as a child, as a preacher, as a man of God, as a pastor, you know what we have to do? We have to give you the whole counsel of God. And sometimes it's things, you know, that people don't like and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes people don't like to preach about. And I'm going to preach this morning on something a lot of preachers don't like to preach about, but they need to preach about it because it's the counsel of God. And when they don't do it, they're hurting the congregation. And I'm going to preach this morning on tithing. On tithing. Now, some of you do real good in this church. Some of you need some help. And I'm going to try to help you about it. It's the Word of God. And it's the whole counsel of God. And some preachers are hesitant to preach on tithing. I'm not hesitant to preach about tithing. Number one, Jesus Christ deserves everything you got. Every penny you got, every drop of blood you got, everything you own should be willing to give it to Him. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord." I don't have any hesitance this morning to say, give everything you got to Jesus Christ. I don't have any hesitance to tell you, come down here and surrender all to the Lord Jesus. If you're saved, and you ought to be able to say, amen to that. Shouldn't be a problem. And if you're truly saved this morning and you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you know Jesus Christ and you know what He's done, you know what? You ought to be willing and delighted to give and tithe to your Lord. Amen? Amen. Say amen. That's the truth. I'm giving you the truth. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. And I love when they grew up, Christmas and all that. I love to give my stuff, my kids, for Christmas. I got a bigger joy, Miss Liz, when they came in there and they saw it than me giving. My grandkids, I told you how my little grandson was there at Toys R Us and he was on that car getting on it, ran. And my daughter said, she said, "No, I'm not buying you that." He said, "Papa buy it." You know what Papa did? Papa bought it. You know why Papa bought it? Because Papa loved him. You know why a child of God ought to give this morning, ought to tithe, and ought to be faithful to it? Because he ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love your kids or grandchildren. Shouldn't be a problem with it. Look at Acts chapter 20 where we're at. I have no apology or hesitant to say you ought to tithe and give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you how and why and when. A lot of people don't know. They have no idea. It's not just putting a couple of dollars in the offering plate. That's not what tithing is. Acts chapter 20, we look at verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Here's Paul talking. This is part of the whole counsel of God. Remember that? "I have shown you all things." All things, he's telling you, here's what I've told you. "How that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said." This is what Jesus said. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." It's a bigger blessing to be able to give than to receive, he says. C.T. Studd, who was a billionaire of his days and the greatest athlete of his days, I've given to you. He gave every penny he had away to the China Inland Mission. He surrendered the mission field to China. He's the greatest athlete in the world. And he gave everything he had away to God. And he said this, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him."
Amen. Samuel Young, Methodist preacher, said the primary motivation for giving is the cross of Jesus Christ. If that does not move and motivate you, nothing else will do it. You ought to be saved this morning. You say, preacher, you tithe? I tithe the day I got saved, the first time I ever walked into church. And far as I know, I've never missed a day in it and never will by the grace of God. You say, why do you tithe? Because I got saved is why I tithe. God save my soul and bless your soul. I am one grateful sinner that's going to heaven. And I want to give you some things about it. I'm trying to help you this morning. And some of you need help in this area. You need to get this thing settled. You need to get it straight and obey the Lord. Adrian Rogers said this, the purpose of tithing is to prove God. For tithing is His way to tell us, for His way to show us and develop faith in Him. You know what tithing does? It proves Him. There is no excuse on the world. There is no excuse or no reason any born-again Christian should not faithfully tithe to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no excuse. Don't even bring it up. I don't even want to hear it. There is no reason in the world why you shouldn't tithe to your Lord. And I'm going to give you a few things about it. Number one, take your Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. And let's get Hebrews 7 and Leviticus 27. Genesis 14. Everybody look at these. I want you to look at these verses because some of you need to see this. This is important stuff to you. It's going to be real important to some of you this morning because some of you, you need to get in line. God expects this from you. Look at Genesis chapter 14. And keep Genesis chapter 14 handy. We're going to come back to it in a few minutes. But look at Genesis chapter 14. This is the first time the word tithe shows up in your Bible. Get Genesis chapter 14. And look at verse number 18. Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Abraham comes back from the battle of Sodom over there. And bring forth bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God. The first time word priest shows up. And he blessed him and blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the God, High God, which had delivered thine enemies in thy hand. And he gave him what? Tithes of all. Everything that came in, he gave him tithes. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Keep Genesis 14 handy. We're going to come back to it in a few minutes. But look at Hebrews chapter 7. I'm going to give you the definition of a tithe. You know what the word tithe is? It's the Hebrew word that means a tenth. God, you owe God a tenth. That's not yours. I'll show you that in a minute. They don't even belong to you. That's the Lord's. After that, that's yours. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. This is Bible stuff, folks. Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 7:1 said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Remember it said he gave him a tithe, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. You know what the word tithe means? It means a tenth. That's what it means. Of all he had, everything that came in, he gave him a tenth. Now turn to look at Leviticus 27. Leviticus chapter 27. I'm giving you the definition of a tithe. A tithe is not a few dollars you throw in the pocket, what's in your pocket, what you got in your wallet. A tithe is a faithful giving of tenth of what you got coming in to the Lord. No doubt about it. I'll give you more about it this morning. And God expects that. That's His, by the way. Ben Carson, Miss Samantha's hero. I wish he'd have won, Miss Samantha. Oh, I wish. He'd have been so much better. You know what he ran under? Remember that? 10, 10, 10. Remember that, Brian? He said 10% income tax, 10% corporate tax, 10%. He said if it's good enough for God, it ought to be good enough for the government. Everybody knows God gets 10%. Amen? Everybody knows. Ben Carson knew that. God has a tenth. That don't even technically belong to you. That's His. And He'll get it. One way or another. I'll show you that. Look at Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. I hope you got it. Everybody look at it. If you haven't got it, I'll give you a minute. Look at this. Because a tenth belongs to the Lord. Period. Not you. Look what it said. Leviticus 27. Verse number 32 says this, and concerning the tithe of the herd, the flock, which whatsoever, it didn't matter what you got, whatsoever passed under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. That was the Lord's. That was His. You know those old time preachers? I remember Brother Norris down at Fellowship Baptist Church. He is an old time preacher. I love that old man of God. When he'd take up the offering, you know what he'd say? Now we're going to take up the Lord's tithes and our offerings. That's what they used to see. Because see, the tithe belongs to the Lord. After that, then you start giving offerings. See, that's what the Bible says that all through it, by the way. And I want to say the definition is a tenth. It's real simple. If you get $2,000 a month, no matter how you get it, if it's disability, if it's Social Security, if it's a trust fund, whatever comes in your hand, 10% of it ought to be set aside right then and belong to the Lord. If you get $4,000 a month, you know what? $400 ought to be set aside and say, this is the Lord's. That's it. It's that simple. Don't know how. However it comes, 10% goes to the Lord. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Hey, I think that's a pretty good deal. I mean, the government gets about 25%, don't they, Miss Samantha? And they rob you. I think God asking for 10% is a pretty good deal when you think about all that God's done for you. I think that's a pretty good deal, Lord. 10% is not very much when you think about it. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is a great chapter. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Verse 9, honor the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Luke 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Whatever comes into you, God ought to get the first fruits. He ought to not, you don't wait and say, okay, I got $5 left, I got $100 left, I'll throw this to the Lord. No, God gets it first. Because if you don't get it first, He'll get it before He gets through. Look at the next verse. You want God's blessing? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. First thing you give, you give to the Lord. And I know some of you do. I know you do. Brother Ben, bless his heart. I love Brother Ben. You know what I like about him? He's not afraid to stand up and make a commitment. He's not afraid to get the courage and conviction. Some of you need that. He's not afraid to stand up in front of the church and say, hey church, I messed up. I didn't do some things right. I'm going to start doing right. A while back, Brother Earl got preaching about a lineup. Brother Ben stood up at the church, y'all remember on Thursday night, I think it was a Thursday. And he said, I tithe, but he said, I always kind of waited at the end of the month. But he said after that, he said, I've decided God gets it first and I'll live on the rest. That's the way you do it, by the way. And I know some of you do that. I know the first of the month, the end of the month, when your money comes, I know you do it. You've told me so. God ought to get the first fruit. God ought to be first above everything else. Because you know what'll happen. You know what'll happen. You know what'll happen. If God don't get His toward the weak, you know who'll get robbed? The Lord. Just like that little boy I told you before. That little boy, his mom gave him 2 dimes. She said, Tommy, here's a dime to go in the offering plate. Here's a dime to buy you some bubble gum. And he's running down the road and he trips up and one of the dime falls and goes in the gutter. He looked up and he said, well, God, there went your dime. That's what we do. See, we don't give first to God. As we go along, we say, Lord, there went your dime. Listen, God ought to be first on the list. He ought to be more important than Alabama Power. You want some power? God will give you power. Where's the doctrine, the definition? Let me give you something else. Turn to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Get Genesis chapter 14. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. And we'll go to Hebrews 7. Somebody said, well, hey, tithing's under the law. No, it's not. Les Fell, look, this goof runs around here. He's a hyper-dispensationalist. He runs around a farmer that hadn't got enough sense to get out of the rain. And he gets people out of the house of God. He teaches there's no such thing as a local church. He teaches that tithing's under the law. You don't have to tithe. He teaches you don't have to sow in. And he gets people out of the house of God and out of the will of God. And he says tithing's under the law and a new Christian's not. He don't know what he's talking about. Tithing's not under the law. Look at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. This is Abraham. This is Abraham. Abraham was 300 years before Moses. Genesis chapter 14. We looked at this a minute. And Melchizedek, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was a priest of the Most High. And he blessed him and blessed me, Abraham. Verse 20, and he blessed me, the Most High God. He delivered thine enemies, thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. 300 years before Moses was born. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. You know what Abraham was? Abraham was under grace. He went under the law. I preached to you about that a while back, about Abraham the law. Look at Romans chapter 4. Abraham was under the same grace you and I was. And the Bible shows that over and over and over. Tithing is under grace. God expects it from you. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse number 3. Romans 4 verse 3. Here's what it said. That didn't look right. Romans 4 verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Watch this. Abraham did what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of death. Abraham was under grace. He is saved just like you and I were. It said he believed God, and that was counted for righteousness. I preached to you last Sunday night on the doctrine of justification. We're justified by the blood, and we're justified by believing. Just like Abraham was. Look at verse number 16. 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to only which is of the law, but they which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. We're under grace. Abraham was under grace when he tithed, brother. Turn to Genesis. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Show you something else about that. Tithing's not the law. Tithing's grace. Abraham was saved by believing God. And all throughout the book of Romans, I gave you that a while back. He's a type of the grace of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Remember this Melchizedek. Abraham gave him a tenth. Hebrews chapter 7, 1. Watch this. Look at this man, Melchizedek. Hebrews 7, 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, watch it, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation, look what it says about Melchizedek, king of righteousness. After that, the king of Salem, Shalom, which is king of... Hey, who in the Bible is the king of righteousness? Who would that be? Look at the next verse. Verse 3 about Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto who? The Son of God abideth a priest continually. And consider how great this man was, who even the great patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth. You know who that probably was, who most Bible teachers believe? That was a pre-incarnate appearance, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of righteousness and the King of peace. And Abraham, under grace, gave him a tenth of what he had. That's exactly what we should be doing, brethren. If we're saved this morning. I'm preaching to saved people this morning, by the way. Look at Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. You know what? As a child of God in the New Testament, listen, we ought to be a lot more grateful for God than those folks were. I talked this morning in Revelation. I said, man, we got the best deal, the grace of God. We're under the best deal. We're safe and secure. We ought to be really given to the Lord compared to those guys. Genesis chapter 28. Here it is again. This is not the law. And Jacob bowed, chapter 28, verse 20. And Jacob bowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord should be my God, for this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and for all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. 300 years before the law. There's a tithing, there's a definition, it's a tenth. There's a doctrine of it, it's under grace. And then there's a place in the depository where your tithe should go. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And get Malachi chapter 3. And get 1 Timothy 3. 1 Corinthians 16. Get Malachi chapter 3, and we'll go to 1 Timothy 3:15. Trying to help you this morning, and some of you need help in this. Trying to help you. One of the greatest blessings you'll ever have is tithing to the Lord. And I'll show you that in a minute. And one of the biggest curses you're going to ever have on this earth is robbing God. You'll rob Him. And you'll pay. He's not a game. You don't throw the dice with the Lord. Say, well, I'll give it a shot. See if I make it. The Bible said in Numbers 23 that God is not a man that He should lie. Neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He not said it, and shall He not do it? Hath He not spoken, and shall He not make it good? What God wrote in His book, folks, He's going to keep that word. Everything about it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You say, where does my tithe go, preacher? It goes to the house of God. It goes to the local church that you're in. That's where your tithe goes. That's where, there's no doubt about it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verse 1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the who? What's that word? Anybody know?
Churches.
Churches. The churches of Galatia, even so do you. Who's he talking to? He's saying, hey, churches, here's the order I told you to do. Here's what I told you to do, churches. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week. What's that? That's Sunday. That's where we're at now. Let every one of you, watch it, lay by him in store as God hath prospered him whatever comes in. That there be no gatherings when I come. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3, the last book in the Old Testament. Uncle Reuben used to quote these verses years ago. I remember him quoting it. Keep 1 Corinthians 16:1 handy. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. This is Bible. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you something this morning that'll help you. Malachi chapter 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Will he? Yet ye have robbed me. I didn't write it, God did. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even the whole nation. Watch verse 10. Now watch this. I want you to look at this close. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith. Notice what he calls it. The storehouse. You know what the storehouse is in the New Testament? Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look what he calls it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 too. I'm giving you a Bible this morning. You know where your tithe ought to go in? It ought to go in your local church where it goes. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 too. Upon the first day of the week, he's talking to the churches, verse 1. Let every one of him lay by him in store. That's the storehouse he's talking about in the Old Testament. The storehouse in the New Testament is the church of the living God. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Go back there again and get 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You say, what are you trying to tell? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm trying to help you. Some of you may never heard this. Some of you have. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 10. Look what it said. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. We know that's the church. We know that from 1 Corinthians 16. That there may be meat in what? Mine house. You know what God's house is in the New Testament? Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest knowest how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. You know what God's house is in the New Testament, folks? It is the church of the living God. You know where that tithe ought to go? It ought to go into this local church is where it goes. This is what God blessed you with. This church. This is what feeds you. This is what worships you. This is what prays for you. When some of you were sick, you know who came and visited you? You know who visited you in the hospital? You know who prayed for you? You know who brought food to you? It wasn't a radio station. It wasn't Samaritan Purse. It wasn't a King's Ranch. It wasn't Jimmy L. Mission. It was Pearl Lake Baptist Church. You say, why? This is God's storehouse right here. This is where we meet. This is where it ought to go to support and help this church. Right here, above everything. This ought to be a tenth, ought to go in this church. Now I know a lot of you support other things, and thank God for it, we do too. But I tell you something, my tithe goes to Pearl Lake Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you, the first day I ever walked in this church was May the 16th, 2010. And I have never missed a tithe. And by the grace of God, I never will miss a tithe this church. He can look at my record. He's got a list of what people give. He can look at it. If I was out of town, if I was in Florida when Brother Cooper was a pastor and I wasn't here, brother, I doubled up the next week. I'll put an offering in another church, but they didn't get my tithe. My tithe went to my church. You say, why? This is where God put me and I want to be a part of it. I want to do my part. There's a place for your tithe. You know what? It takes money to operate this church. It takes money. We pay about $400 a month for this power bill. You like the air conditioning, the heat? You know what we pay every month? We pay $200 Windstream, $55 Orchid. Before we get through, on a normal month, it costs $4,000 to operate this church 1 month. That doesn't include we have to pay $4,000 a year for our insurance. That don't include we pay $1,500 to replace that compressor. Y'all like the air conditioning? He didn't give it to us. We pay $2,500 for that air conditioning. You know what it takes? It takes money. You know where that money should come from? It comes from God's people being faithful and tithing to the local church. And most, some of you do. Some of you need help. You know what I ask myself every time about anything? Here's what I ask myself. Lord, what if everybody in this church tithed and gave like I did? Will we have enough money to run this church? What if they gave like I did? What if they gave as what I did? Could we even run the power in this church? See, I want to be responsible. I want to be a part of this church. I wanted this church and the Lord to know that I'm responsible. I want to do my part. I didn't want to depend on Brother Zito or somebody else to pay for the bill. I want to say, hey, I'm going to be a part of that deal. There's a place of it. I just want to sit here. I want to do my part. I've been coming to this church 9 years, and I've never missed a tithe. And I'm not bragging because I'm not nothing to brag about. There's nothing to brag about. That's just doing my duty. Bible said, Jesus Christ said one time, we say we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which our duty was required. Nothing to brag about that. I'm just doing my duty. That's all. Nothing to brag about that. You say, why? I got saved. First time I ever went to a church, I put money in the offering plate. When I learned about tithing was a tenth, I made sure that a tenth went in. And my wife can tell you, we've been married 35 years. 35 years, and we've never not tithed. Never. You know why? The church has been good to me and my family. This church has been good to me and my family. It was good to me when Brother Cooper was preaching. It fed us, gave us a place to go. Hey, I want to be a part of it. I want to do my part. Church has been good to me. I tell you, somebody I miss in this church. And he used to sit, Brother Ben, you don't know him. But he sit right there. Sit right here. Big old boy. His name was Jeremiah Cooper. Moved, went to Tennessee. Miss Jana a while back mentioned in prayer meeting one time. She said, pray for Jeremiah. He's coming, moving home. And she meant moving to where they grew up. And I jumped up. I said, you mean he's coming back here? She said, no. I miss that old boy. When that old boy left this church, I'll tell you what he did. You know what he did for over a year? For over a year, every single month, I got a letter and a little envelope out there, and in that envelope was his tithes. And I don't mean it was $50. I don't mean it was $100. I don't mean it was $200. I mean it was a real deal tithe every month for a year. That old boy sent it. Brother Don, he was in the process of moving. He had a little baby. He was changing jobs. He had every reason in the world not to tithe. And he wouldn't come in this church. He said, I don't even go there. For over a year, that old boy kept tithing. Kept tithing. There was enough of God in him, enough of the Word of God, Miss Liz. He knew that he needed to keep tithing, being faithful to the Lord. And God's blessed him. Miss Jenna all the time stand up, told a while back where he bought a farm where they used to grow in. Got a new job. She said, hey, God bless you. That old boy just kept tithing and staying faithful to the Lord. There's a place of your tithe. It goes to your church. It goes to your church. If it's God, where God put you, you ought to be faithful, you ought to be willing, you ought to be desired, you ought to be in the light to give to God's house. I love it. As soon as I come in, every morning, I'm the first one here, you know. And I take my tithe, put it in there. I give every week. Some of you give every month. That's fine. Some of you say it's easy. I ought to do every month. And the reason I give every week, I'll tell you why it is. Because I used to get paid every month at UAB. But I wanted my kids, brothers, he told them they're little. I wanted them to see Miss Carol every time that offering plate went by that their dad put a big fat check in that thing. I wanted them to know Dad is faithful to God and he's not going to rob him. That's why I did it. And those kids, I know some one of them tithes. I know they do. I want to say there's a definition. There's a place, a depository. And I want to give you one more thing this morning. There's a proof and I'm trying to help you. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. There's a proof of tithing. Malachi, Brother Uncle Reuben used to quote this years ago. I don't know if he still quotes Malachi 3, but he used to say, I've heard him stand up and quote this. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God, yet have you robbed me? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You watch this. You know what God said? You're cursed with a curse, for you robbed me. Even this whole nation. But he said this, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house, and prove me. You know what God said? Hey, prove it. You believe in God? Prove Him. Prove me now herewith. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be enough room to even receive it. That's the word of God. He said, hey, you don't think I'll do it? You prove me and see if I don't do it. You know what tithing does? It proves God with a blessing if you tithe. Psalm 34:8 says this. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what God said? Hey, tithe and put it in there and just see. If I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so big, you can't even receive it. I believe it. I believe it. Uncle Reuben, he tithes. I know who tithes here pretty much, and you don't. I know he tithes. How do you know? He's told me. I remember one day, it was raining that day, and they don't normally come in the rain. And it was raining that day, and I drove up, and there's a car. And I got in, I asked Miss Annie Mae, I said, Miss Annie Mae, y'all should have stayed home. It's storming out there. She said, I tried to get Reuben to stay home, but he said, I got to get to church. I got to get my tithe for the Lord in there. You know what that is? You know what God does? He takes care of them. They go out to eat. You know what? They get ready to go up. Somebody said, hey, it's already been paid for. All the time. You say, why? It's like God said, hey, listen, you don't believe it, I'll open up windows of heaven and pour a blessing down to you. You know how God takes care of them? They've tithed all their life. Ever since they've been saved, them two has. They made sure they honored the Lord with that tithe. God said, I'll bless you. What's that?
That comes through.
Amen, brother. That's the first thing you take, brother. That's it. Turn to Acts chapter 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Look, Acts chapter 20. Get 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know what God said? He said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. Boy, it's a blessing to me to put that thing in offering plate. That's a blessing. Blessing. I heard about this missionary one time. He was in the Philippines and he was walking around and there was a man out there plowing in the field. And pulling the plow was his son. His son was pulling the plow and pulling that plow had the stirrups on him. He's pulling that plow. And that missionary said, man, they must be poor. He said, oh, they are poor. He said, boy, I wish they had a mule. And he said, oh, they had a mule. He said, what happened? He said, they gave it to the Lord as an offering. And the missionary said, man, what a sacrifice. He said, they didn't think it was a sacrifice. They thought it was a blessing. They had a mule to give to the Lord. Hey, it's a blessing to give to the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 20. Here's what the Lord said. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have shown you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak. We looked at this. And to remember the Lord, words of the Lord, He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You want a blessing from God? Give. Jeremiah came to me one time. I love that boy. I love that old boy. He's got some things right, Miss Jenna. He came to me, Brother Zito, and he said, Brother Terry, should I tithe on the gross or the net? Should I tithe before or after taxes at 10%? I said, well, Jeremiah, you pray about it, but I said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, you'll never outgive God. He said, that's all I need to know. You see that boy, you say, I wouldn't. He had a good attitude. God's blessed him. You can't outgive him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what it said. 2 Corinthians 9:5. 2 Corinthians 9:5. Therefore, it ought to necessary to exhort the brethren that they should go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. That bounty is offerings, what he's talking about. Wherefore, ye had noticed before that at the same time be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. Don't covet it. Paul said, give. And this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You don't outgive God. Look at the next verse. And God is able to make grace also. Look at verse 7. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. It starts in the heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. You want God to love you? I mean, everybody here ought to jump up and run around the building and say, amen. Listen, you want Him to love you? Be a cheerful giver. I have never in my life grudgingly gave to the Lord. And I'm not bragging. Hey, that's just my duty, man. I mean, what's the deal? That's easy to do. Years ago, I told you about this. When I was in Bible school, and Miss Samantha, I ate. Here's what I ate. You're not going to like this. You know what my food was? Peanut butter and popcorn. Peanut butter for protein and popcorn for fiber. That's the truth. I worked minimum wage. Never worked minimum wage in my life. I told the Lord when I went down there, I said, oh, Lord, I go down there, but I'm not working minimum wage. I had a good job. You know what God did? He put me on minimum wage. It was hard. And I lived in an apartment across the road, and the guy I lived with, he never would pay the rent. I stayed broke. But I tithe. God got his. You can better know that. And I remember one day I got ready for church and I had this tan jacket. Boy, it looked good, Brother Brian. It was light tan, had a dark tan up here. You know, back in those days, you know, had some tan stitching on it. I mean, Bunk would have loved it. You know how Bunk walks in. I mean, it was stepping out. Put that old coat on that morning and reached in the pocket. Miss Samantha pulled out a $5 bill. Woohoo! $5 bill back in was $100. And I hadn't eaten. And I was thinking, Captain D's. Chicken fingers. That was right down the road. I went to church that morning. I was tiptoeing around, man, just whistling. Couldn't wait to get out of there that morning. Take that $5, run down there to Captain D's and say, I'll take a chicken dinner. And I got in that thing, I'll never forget it. And it had a missionary from Brazil. Oh, my goodness. And boy, he got up there and told all the things he went through. And they wanted to take up a love offering. And here come that offering plate around. It's a big church. And that offering plate looked as big as this building. And it was like Joel's doom, 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 running around there. And the Lord said, put that $5 in the plate. I said, come on, Lord, I didn't tithe. Lord, you done got your deal, Lord. Lord, this I found in the pocket, Lord. I mean, Lord, come on. You said, you know, I was trying to make excuses. There we were with food and raiment, let us be content. I said, Lord, I need some food. And that thing kept coming around. Doom, 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 doom. And it got to me, you know what I did? I put it in the plate. I said, here you go, Lord. And I went out to my car, and this has never happened to me again before in my life or after. And nobody in the world but God knew I had that $5. And this is the honest truth. Before God, I went out in my car and taped on the steering wheel with an envelope, and it just said, praise the Lord on it. Nobody knew I was broke. Most people in there thought I was rich. And opened up that thing, it was $20. You know what I did? I just sit there and wept about 5 minutes. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't ever question you, God. You know what God says? Prove me. Prove me. Brother Anthony Zito a while back stood up and gave testimony. He lost his job and he got a new job. But you know what he said? He said, I kept tithing like it was the old job. You know, he made less. And he gave up and said, you know what God did? He increased my salary to match that other job because he was tithing. Did it not happen? You know what Brother Ben said after that? He said, hey, Brother Zito can do it, I can do it. You know what? I lost my job. You know what? I don't give it about half what I was making. But you know what? You can ask Brother Zito. I am still tithing on the same amount as I was working. You say what? He did it. God bless him. Why can't he bless me? God's no respecter of persons. And you know what God has? He blessed me. I took my car in the car place a while back. Alternator out. PTL. Never been in that place in my life. That alternator had been on there for 5 years. I went back and checked. 5 years, and I paid about $600 when I put it on there last time. Went in PTL, never been there in my life. And I told him I'm trying to get out of town to go to Florida, see my little grandson. And I said, this thing's making a lot of noise. He said, we'll check it out. He went in there, checked it out. He called me back in a couple of hours. He said, Mr. Watkins, it's ready. I went back and I said, well, how much are you? He said, no charge. I said, what's going to happen? He said, we had to replace the alternator. Your alternator's bad. He said, but it's under warranty. No charge, you're good to go. He said, I did that. God. God. I just took my car and my van to the shop a while back. About a month ago, it was leaking again. Listen what they did. They replaced the water pump. They replaced the serpentine belt. They replaced a pulley there. Is that a thing? They replaced the hose. They drained the antifreeze. It's probably $1,000. I went in there and Tim, I said, Tim, how much owe you? He said, no charge. I said, what? He He said, it's been taken care of. You're free to go. Go ahead. So he did that. He did it. Oh, you say it's just a coincidence. That's what's wrong with some of you. Try to rob God. God did that. I went and had a bunch of heart tests in March. Doctor, I went in there. I had an echocardiogram. Had a nuclear stress test. Had an EKG. Had everything he could give me. And he got there. Doctor, he guy was in there and he said, I'm going to give you these tests. He said, but I see you don't have any insurance. I said, no, sir. He said, I'm a little pastor. I don't have no insurance. I said, we go through a Christian sharing, but I don't have any insurance. He said, I'm going to tell you, these tests are expensive. He said, that nuclear stress test is about 10 grand. I said, well, doc, that's what I told him. I said, doc, you do what you think you need to do, and the Lord will take care of the rest of it. You know what? I have not seen a bill for that yet. The only bill I saw were the heart monitor, and I showed you guys that. It was $410, and it had real big, no insurance on file, and it said balance, $50. Y'all saw it. You say, who did that? The one that said, hey, you honor me, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing on you. Say, who did it? God did it. God will take care of you. But I'm going to tell you, look at Malachi chapter 3. Look what else he says. Malachi chapter 3. God approved. You can prove him with a blessing. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? You ever robbed me? He said, wherever you robbed me a tithe. And he said, you curse with a curse. Because if he don't prove him with a blessing, you'll prove you with a curse. The Lord will make you pay with interest. Everything in your house is going to fall down. Cars will fall down. Everything will break. You'll never, 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 never get ahead. You'll be like a dog running around chasing his tail. You'll never catch up. God will make sure. The best thing you can do is trust God with what you got. And I mean 10%. I mean, how little is that with the Lord? He can take everything you got. He can take your health, your breath, everything you got that quick. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Go back to it. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. You say, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. Huh? You left out a word. You left out a word. What you meant to say is, I cannot afford to tithe. I can't afford not to tithe, what you meant to say. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're saved this morning, and God's your Father, and this book is the Word of God, which we know it is, you better tithe. Or you'll be broke. And you'll be chasing your tail like that dog. And I know a lot of you do in here. A lot of you do good jobs. Some of you need some help. So I'm going to tell you, God don't lie, folks. Titus 1:2 says, the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Numbers 23 said, God is not a man that he should lie. Know that the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? Shall he not do it? Yeah, he'll do it. Just like he said. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at that again. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first, that's what Uncle Reuben said, it's first to God, with the first fruits of all thine increase, and it comes in your hands, God ought to get a part of it. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. God said that. And I press his verse, hey, God said it, you'll do it, I'll bless you. But if you don't, brother, he said, I'll curse you. You see, I robbed God. I'm going to tell you this morning, and this is the honest God's truth. I would walk in Regions Bank in the morning with a gun, Miss Rachel, and rob that bank before I ever robbed God. Amen. Number one, Regions Bank didn't die for me, brother. Regions Bank didn't come down this heaven and die on a cross and shed his blood for me. Jesus Christ did. I'm not going to rob him. Not only that, 10 years in prison is not nothing when you meet the Lord robbing God for eternity. There's no way I'd rob God. I don't even tempt it. It don't even come in my mind to take away what the Lord's. And I'm going to tell you this morning, a preacher that does not encourage you, doesn't preach about it, doesn't push you and prod and reprove and rebuke to get you to tithe, he is a thief. You know what he's doing? He's robbing you from the blessings of God. Because God said, hey, you honor me, I'll honor you. And I can promise you one thing. I can promise you one thing. By the authority of that word of God, if you're saved, I'm talking to saved people this morning. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about people that are actually born again, blood bought, saved. The real deal. But I can promise you by the authority of the word of God, you can get by a whole lot better on 90% with the blessing of God than you can get by with 150% with a curse of God sitting on top of you. That 90% go a long way. I'll tell you, my last month, for this month, you know what my checking account started off with? The first of the month, not this month, the last month, a minus $682. Before I ever paid a bill. I was $682 in the hole. That's how much I owe starting the month. I said, Lord, but you know what? God got His tithe. And I went through that month, and you know what, God? God got me through it. This month, I started off $511 in the red. I can show it to you. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. That's where I started the first of the month. I got with the church supporting me. Got a little UAB. And you know what? Last week, right now, we're about $51 in the black. That's wonderful, see? God's getting His. God's getting His. And I looked at it this week, Brother Ben, and I went through it and I said, it can't be this. Surely I missed a few bills. It can't be this good. As much as I was in the hole, I went back this week. I'm meticulously balanced there. And I said, maybe I didn't pay the charter bill. Maybe I didn't. And I went through, I said, glory to God, how in the world did we ever do that good? You say, God will take care of you. Then you may have to do without. We do without. I told you my kids were growing up. We've weighed them through private school. They went through college. We went out to eat. You know where we'd go out? McDonald's. And a lot of times, you know what my wife would do? She'd make them split a hamburger. They didn't like it. They didn't like it. We didn't have any money. You say, well, I took my kids. It was important. But God always got His tithe. There were some times during that time, my wife can know this, we supported four missionaries out of our pocket besides our tithe. Our tithe went to the church. I supported three of them $100 a month. You say, why? I wanted God's blessing. I wanted to help these guys. I was just giving an offering to them out of our pocket. Paid the kids through college. But you know what? We didn't go out to eat. We never went to Ruby Tuesdays or Applebee. We didn't know those places exist, man. That'd be a foreign land for us. After my kids got grown up, moved the house, my daughter said many times, she said, Dad, you never took us out to eat. I said, we didn't have any money. See, sometimes you got to do without. You know, when we go out to eat right now, we're back to square one. We go out to eat Friday night. We go out with the church. And Sunday night, we go out to Jack. That's it. You say, what? We don't have any money. But you know what? God gets His, see. I don't mind eating a pimento cheese sandwich. I don't mind eating a peanut butter sandwich. My daughter, when I was working, had some money. Every year we'd rent a condo on the beach. Nice condo. $4,000, man. And I'd pay for everything. They'd go out to eat. My daughter said, Dad, why don't we go back and rent a condo on the beach? I said, because we don't got no money. Hey, man, if you don't have it, you don't spend it, see? Like old Brother Charlie said, if you got it, spend it. If you don't have it, don't spend it. I don't mind. Listen, I'd rather be sitting in my house eating a pimento cheese on stale bread than sitting on the best condo in the world eating the most thickest steak under the curse of God. I want to be under the blessings of God. See, sometimes you might have to do without that beach or the trip to the mountains or whatever it might be or that out. Sometimes you might just have to do without for the blessings of God. But I'd rather do that. I want to be under the blessings of my God. Galatians 6:7 says this, be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Some of you are thinking right now, well, I got to do this. Brother Terry, you don't understand, yada, yada. You know what you're doing? You're trying to come up wiggle worm, coming up things, all kind of things in your life, trying to come some way out of it. There's no way out. Be not deceived. You're deceiving yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. You're not going to con the Lord. There ain't no way in the world. And if you're saved, that book right there, every word in it's true. What he said he's going to do. And one of the biggest blessings you'll ever get in your life is learn how to tithe. First thing, just like Uncle Reuben said, that goes to the Lord. God, this is yours. About 2 years ago or a year ago, I was at Eastern Tire out there. I think you've told you about this guy. But he is such a blessing. Had an old veteran's cap on, had an old scraggly beard on him. Got talking with him. I said, you saved? Gave him a track. He said, yeah, he's saved. Love the Lord. He was. He is retired. He used to be the CFO for Glass Doctor here. I knew the people that run Glass Doctor. I knew the guy that owned it, some of them. And we got to, he was one of the nicest guys, an old guy in his 70s. Might have been in his 80s. And we got talking. He said, we was talking about when he got saved. I asked him when he got saved. He got saved young. He said, me and my wife, he said, we got saved in church. And we've been in church all our life. He said, neither one of us ever had a cigarette in our mouth. We've never had a piece of tobacco in our mouth. Neither one of us has ever had a touch of liquor in our mouth. Neither one of us has been in a movie house. He said, we lived a separated life. And we got saved. We stayed in church. And he said, the one thing, though, we didn't do, we didn't tithe. He said, we gave. He said, I put a little bit in the plate. But he said, I never gave the Lord his tithe like I should have. And he said, my, our life was a mess. He told me this. He said, one day at the kitchen table, he said, we were under stress and pressure. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't tithe, the government will get it. They'll get it. Somebody's going to get it. God will make sure you'll be running across in that tail. And that's the way he was. He said, man, we just stayed in pressure. We stayed under a mess with our bills. He said, we never could come out ahead. And he said, one day at the kitchen table, I told my wife, this is what he told me. He said, honey, we have made a mess. He said, we have got to give this to the Lord. And he said, from that day, preacher, he told me, he said, that was 40 years ago. He said, God got the first tenth of everything that ever came in that house. And he said, we never had a problem after that. And he said, I'll tell you something, preacher. He said, it was so much better to go to bed at night with a blessing of God, knowing you're doing the right thing, than knowing you're conning and conniving God. He said, that little old tenth is not worth it. I'm going to tell you tonight, brethren, that little old tent's not worth it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray your blessing upon this message tonight, this morning, Lord. Some of these people need to do something with it. Get this thing right. Get it done. Get it settled, God. And get some things in here, Lord. Father, now pray your blessing upon the time of the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to stand. Let's turn to page number 308 in the green. 308 in the green. God spoke to you tonight, this morning, do something. Some of you need to make a commitment. Some of you do you good like Brother Ben. I love Brother Ben. He's not ashamed to stand up and say, hey, before the church, I haven't done right. I want to get this thing right and have the courage and conviction to take a stand for God. It would help you. It would help you. 308 in the green. All to Jesus. Can you sing that? Can you sing that? Some of you need to get some things right this morning. You know it. You know it. All to Jesus. Booth. God spoke to you. You know it. You know it. I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you. Love and trust Him in me. God spoke to you. Do something. Don't rob God. Surrender all. I surrender.